everyone, and welcome to the 5th Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. I'm John Gibson, and joining me again this week is Michael Westbay. Hello,
Good
Michael.
Good evening.
Jim Allen is still on vacation in New York, but he plans to return next week and join me. We have a ton of rainouts this week, but one game is enough for us to talk for about an hour, wouldn't you say, Michael?
yes, definitely.
We're going to chat about the CL leaders, the PL leaders. We're going to talk a little bit about Interleague, which starts on Tuesday, and some moves by some of the teams, but let's kick it off with clearing the bases. All right, well, it's easy to see why the Hawks are where they are. They have the top batter in the Pacific League, Seiji Uchikawa. What's he hitting now? 402 after today? Maybe a little bit higher, maybe a little bit lower?
it was 393 going in today. 412 with runners in scoring position. Hey, he's just a natural hitter. And one thing I've got to say is you called it with the Hawks last week. I'm starting to really see what you were saying.
In that they're stacked.
Yeah,
they have a lot of players at a lot of positions, and they have pitching, and even this week there are guys I'm sure people weren't familiar with who came up and contributed, and also Hiroki Yamamoto is doing well for him. So I mean, they're getting the big name guys are doing well, and the little guys are doing well.
Yep, they're really looking good, especially this past week.
What in particular did you see that got you pulled you over to my side? Let's say.
Well, Cabrera started hitting, for one. Cabrera was just such a slow starter this year.
But he always is, and a lot of those Latin players always tell me, it's too cold, it's too cold.
Yeah, they need it to be warmer.
Exactly. But he's not that cold down there in Fukuoka, so he should be, he should have a faster start than usual, I think.
Mm-hmm. And even without Uchikawa in the lineup, they were scoring runs. They were just, playing their game. It's... They've got it together.
Even with the slow start, and I say slow start because they're still, and I think after today's games, we're on Sunday here, and after today's games, they're actually in a virtual tie, but they have 17 victories. The Nippon Ham Fighters have 16, and their winning percentage is .630, and the Ham Fighters is .640, so they're in second place technically, but... Mm-hmm. Again, they're leading the league in victories, and that's the key, and that's probably going to be the key for them is, who's going to knock them off. It certainly isn't going to be the Buffaloes the way they're playing, and Seibu's still playing poorly. They only have 9 wins. Good grief.
That's a Seibu that I just don't recognize. Seibu, the franchise since the 1980s, have always just been so strong, but the past... several years finding themselves in B class has really surprised me.
Yeah, it's surprising, but I guess we could see it coming in a sense. They had the breakdown at the end of the year last season, where they were leading most of the season in Pacific League. They dropped down into second place very late in the season, blaming it on their ace Hideaki Wakui not being able to win one game. And that was their basis for a free agent. I'm sorry, not free agent, but a what do you call that thing? The
arbitration
that they took to the that they had in the off season, and they blamed it for not being able to win one game. But it was a team wide breakdown. They weren't able to win some games down the stretch where they only had to win one game in Fukuoka and couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, they've just been in a funk. They lost in the playoffs to the eventual Japan Series champion, Lotte Marines, and then they started out this season. They've only got 9 wins, and it's we're through a month here, and they're not scoring. They're not pitching well. They're not doing much of anything. But I expect that to turn around. I still think, despite the fact that they lost their starting catcher, things are going to turn around for them. They've got more talent than the Buffaloes, and there they are with the same number of wins. So I think that's going to change, and I think I got to believe the Marines are playing over their head at the moment, as are the Nippon Ham Fighters. I don't see them playing 640 ball for the rest of the season.
I still have faith in the Fighters. I still think that they're going to be hard to completely knock out of this thing.
I believe that would be the case if Sho Nakata is going to hit the way he's hitting.
He's
hitting for power. He's doubling. You know, most of his hits seems like are doubles, as opposed to just getting base hits. He's hitting for power with the home runs. He's really becoming a factor in the lineup. But you know, still some of the other guys, Yoshio Itoi is having a good season, but not like he did a couple years ago. Inaba seems to have slowed down a little bit.
They are aging, yes.
and then their pitching is, you know, sometimes really good and sometimes mediocre. I'm just not convinced. You know, it's only a month. We need more time to see and look, you know, to give them a good look and see what's going to happen. But I don't think they're going to play like this for too much longer. They're going to hit a slump, in my opinion. But you know, who's there to clean up? Who's going to be there to force them into the slump? The Eagles, I saw them today. They really had an awful week. They were shut out in 5 of 11 games coming into today's game. This month, 5 shutouts, you know, for half a season is pretty good, but 5 in a month or 5 in 11 games is pretty bad. And they had a
Stars territory.
They had a virtual breakout today. They scored 5 runs in the first 2 innings.
Yeah,
and
that was
happened?
Enough to carry them to a win, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and then what happened? They put up 7 scoreless innings the rest of the way. But they still won. They got great relief pitching today. They still won.
That's also much like Yokohama. You just got one inning where you concentrate everything and then nothing for a couple of games.
Put all your chips, yeah, you bet all the money on the one horse and see if it can hold off. Well, Uchikawa is first in batting, and his second is his teammate, Yuichi Honda, who's really having a breakout season.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I must be looking at the numbers before they've been updated, but he was batting, coming in today, he was batting .362. And that's no fluke. I think he's going to compete for the batting title. Tadahito Iguchi of the Lotte Marines was in third, and he's just been raking since opening day.
Uh-huh.
Of those three, who would you pick to finish with the PL batting title? I think I'm going to go with Iguchi.
I'll stick with Uchikawa.
Okay.
He won it in the Central League, and he's going for the Pacific League batting title his first year.
I wish him luck. He's doing a good job
he's
too.
He's got to stay healthy though.
Got to stay healthy, but I think he can do it there. I don't think sometimes if they want to, they can DH him if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be a valuable part that way because Alex, he is a Golden Glove winner or Gold Glove winner. I prefer to say the American or English style rather than the Japanese style of Golden Glove winner, but he's a Gold Glove winner at first base for whatever that's worth, and we always joke. We always joke at the office that Alex Cabrera, you know, he won't dive for a ball, but anything that's hit right at him, you're out.
Uh-huh.
And we joke at the office, you know, if somebody hit the ball that's too hard, you know, he might even joke, hey, did you see that thing go past me? That thing almost hit me. That thing could have killed me. He doesn't put it all out on the line defensively, but anything hit right at him, he gobbles it up and he vacuums it up and you are out. But he can play at first base, so there's no doubt about that. And if they want a DH Uchikawa, that's something they can look into if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the home run leaders in the Pacific League, that's going to be quite a battle, I think, to the end. But Nobuhiro Matsuda of SoftBank is among the leaders, and he's having a breakout season.
Who's that?
Exactly. He's a guy, you know, our senior writer here at the paper loves this kid, and he's talked about him for years, and I said, hey, look, he doesn't have the numbers. He hasn't put up any numbers. Why do you like him so much? And Jim Allen likes to do projections, and I think he projected that this kid would you know, produce in time. Mm-hmm. And, since I started at the paper in 2005, Matsuda was a draft pick in 2005, and he came up in 2006 and got a little bit of a chance, but he hasn't really produced that much. He hit 17 home runs in 2008. He hit 19 last year, and this might be the year. He's already got 7, so he's almost halfway to his total from last season in 458 at-bats.
Yeah,
so this could
be with Hoffpower and Seibu's Nakamura.
Yeah, Takeya Nakamura, Mr. Second Helping, or
Okawari-kun.
Okawari-kun in Japanese. I'm not convinced that he's going to lead the league, Matsuda, but I think he's going to, hit more than 20. But of these three, I can't really see any of these guys winning the home run crown. I mean, I would like to see Nakamura do it because he's done it before, and I would like
right.
to see if he can do it again.
But I'd say Nakamura would be the favorite. Hoffpower, so many foreigners start off really strong, and then their holes are discovered. So I don't know how much longer Hoffpower is going to continue hitting these home runs, but he has been a really big boost to Nippon Ham's offense this year.
Yes,
which is helping them stay in the race for first place.
Well, they're in first. So, I mean, if he can continue to hit like he's hitting, which I don't see happening. We certainly don't see that happening. But if he can get some hits in a timely fashion for them, that will help them contend, and they always have good pitching, they always have good arms out there, so I believe they can make a run and be consistent. Let's say that they have and give themselves a chance to contend for the title if they get this kind of production from someone. So actually, something that they didn't expect, because anytime you get a foreign player, you just never know what you're going to get. Look at
right.
the Dragons. Look at the Dragons with Joel Guzman. They are really, really giving him a long look and a long effort. And he hit a home run, I think, on Saturday, but he's killing them. But they're leaving him out there, and they're pitching, and he does play defense, and that's going to help. So you never know what you're going to get with these foreign players that first, especially the first year. But if he can make it through and continue this, they're certainly going to be there in the race. Our RBI leader is Tadahito Iguchi with Lotte, and he's got 26 now. I think batting third, they've had him batting cleanup for a while. They did last year. Bobby Valentine had him batting cleanup for a while too. But batting third with those two fast kids, Ogino and Okada, at the top of the lineup, man, he's just going to have RBI opportunity after RBI opportunity.
With Iguchi, even when Bobby was still here, I was talking with Bobby before a game one day, and I mentioned, Iguchi hits a double every time I see him, or an RBI double every time I see him. And Bobby says, "You must not see him very much." But that night, he goes and hits an RBI double, his first at bat.
See,
there
Bobby?
It is.
See, Bobby? Well, he's a line drive hitter, and at that stadium, I asked him about playing in that stadium when he came back from the States. And I asked him about it because of the wind, and the wind can swirl in there and just do funny things with the ball. And he said, yeah, it's not a big problem, especially when you're hitting. He thinks that a lot of times the wind's blowing out to center. And if you get the ball up to right center and center field, the ball will carry out for you. So he's a line drive hitter, and that's what he did that's what he does most of the time. He gets the ball over the infield and under the gloves or past the gloves in the outfield, and he's standing on second base. He's a monster. I think he's got a good chance to lead the league in RBIs, but again, it's still early. We have to see with all these leaders. But with all the leaders, there are always teams or players who are lagging behind. And in this case, it's the Buffaloes. And they are just bad. Their pitching has been poor. They're hitting. Man, they're experiencing a Korean boom of a different kind, let me tell you. This boom is the one, the kind that blows up in their face. Boom.
Yeah. They haven't been doing it.
Yeah, they brought in Lee Sun Yoke and Park Chan Ho, or Chan Ho Park, whichever way you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were hoping these guys would help them at least make a run to the playoffs, but they had to send both of those guys down to the farm this week.
Yep.
Lee got sent down on Sunday. He got sent down on Sunday, and he's still tied for sixth in the PL with strikeouts, with 27. And he's hitting 145 in 70 at-bats. And Park, you know, he pitched well decently a couple of times. Mm-hmm. He won a game, but he lost three straight. His ER isn't that bad at 4.13. That's not that bad. But looks like they're going to try to get him right in the minor leagues.
it looks like Oddix has given up twice as many runs as they've scored. Always a rather bad sign.
You think?
Ducton has actually scored less, but they've also given up a great deal less. So,
yeah, it's a bad scene, and I can't see it getting any better. You know, this kid Yuki Nishi, the pitcher they had who won his first four starts. Last week we talked about him having half of their wins, and now he lost today. It was his first loss, and
ouch.
That really, yeah, it really hurt him because he would have been able to get them half their wins today had he. You know, get back to half the wins if had he won today, and now, you know, they're 9-18, 66 runs scored, 126 runs against.
Yeah.
And you know, neither one of these guys, the Korean boomers, were doing anything to help. So I just don't see that getting any better. Lotte, yeah. You know, thinking they're going to keep it up and those kids stay healthy at the top of the lineup, and I call them kids, but they're not. they're two rabbits at the top of the lineup, stay healthy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably knock Cebu out of the playoff race, unfortunately, for me, since I picked Cebu to finish third.
Well, you know, picking Cebu to finish in A class is usually a good bet.
Actually, now that I think of it, I picked him to finish first, so... it wasn't just A class, but, you know, it's a long season. They can turn it around. They can turn it around. The Buffaloes are still missing, or did they bring up, I think, Komatsu is supposed to return from injury. Satoshi Komatsu, one of their starting pitchers, and Chihiro Kaneko, who is out with a bad elbow, supposed to come back at some point, but he was their stud last year. And, man, oh, man, without those guys, their pitching is suffering. And maybe they'll pick up another foreigner. Maybe they'll ask Tuffy Rhodes to come back.
Hey, that would be exciting.
Hey, anybody would be helpful right now at the moment. All right.
You claiming to be able to do that a few broadcasts ago?
Me claiming to do what? Get out and go and play? I can help. Look, if you want me to give up five runs in about four innings or so, I can do it. I think I can hold the team to five runs in four innings. Especially if I'm playing against the Buffaloes.
Oh, okay.
I'm still, you know, I'm staying in shape. I'm injured at the moment, but I'm staying in shape. Let's move on to the Central League now. The leaders for Central League, and man, oh man, we had a guy who he's 40 years and 5 months, and he won the, again, I don't want to say the Japanese style. I will call it the Player of the Month award. Shinya Miyamoto of the Yakult Swallows.
Yeah, that surprised me.
What is this guy doing here? I mean, come on. Let the young kids have a chance, huh? Let the kids play.
Well, you know, Yakult has really been surprising this year, and Miyamoto hitting .550 with runners in scoring position, that was well-deserved. That's one of the reasons that Yakult is right there at the top.
It is, but his teammate and this guy is just blowing up the whole league at the moment. Vladimir Valentin.
Valentin, oh,
killing
I just
leading.
Saw him for three games.
Oh, man.
Hitting the ball out all three games, three in the first game at Yokohama. So that was five home runs over three games, the past three games. Yeah, he can crush the ball. And he did it with broken bats twice.
Ugh.
He broke his bat
I
on
did
two
see,
home
yeah,
runs.
Yeah, I did see one of the replays, and he's holding a stick in his hand as or a twig in his hand as he's standing there watching. Guy's some kind of strong, but, I mean, you think, like you said before, that they figure out these guys and they figure out where the holes are. But 13 home runs...
14
In 24 games. Well, I got him for 13 on...
Yeah, that's going into today. He hit another one.
He hit another one. All right, I didn't see that. I got the score. It's 5.
Wait a second. No, he didn't. We didn't let him hit one, okay.
You finally kept him in the yard today.
He drove in a couple of the runs that cost us the game.
It probably looked like a home run because it was a double, right?
Yeah.
So he's got 13 homers. He's hitting .386. Geez, he's not leading in runs batted in, but he's close.
Yeah.
What a monster. I mean, you know, he might be the second coming of Alex Ramirez.
That could well be. He is just really hitting everybody very well.
He hit the dragon. He tattooed the dragons pretty good. He beat up your stars pretty good. I don't know what he's done so far too much, if they played that much against the Tigers, but he's just killing everybody at the moment. So he's probably a marked man.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make himself a marked man for the rest of the season.
Well, he basically is the reason that Yakult beat the Bay Stars 3 games in a row here.
That's true. That's true. He beat him single-handedly. The 3 home run game he had the other day, he drove in 6 runs, I believe, and that was the...
Mm-hmm.
That was all the runs that Yakult got. So amazing, amazing start for a foreign player. I haven't seen this in quite some time. Not a triple crown threat. We have to call up Wayne Grassick and see if he can come up with the last time there's been a foreign player who, in his first month of the season, was a triple crown threat. Because it's going back way before my time.
Uh-huh.
I arrived in Japan in the 90s and just started studying Japanese, so. I got no chance on that. Our pitching leader is Brian Bullington of the Hiroshima Carp, although he didn't fare too well the other day. And then a bunch of Carp pitchers.
Yeah.
And a bunch of Swallows pitchers. I mean, that's why these teams are where they are.
Well, actually, Utsumi has the best ERA, 107.
Right.
Then Yakult's, Yoshinori.
Uh-huh, Sato.
And Ishikawa.
Right, but a bunch of guys are at 4 wins. Yoshinori's at 4 wins, Bullington's at 4 wins, and I'm thinking of the other league,
that's
I guess.
It.
But, yeah,
not the rest of them are in the Pacific League.
Yeah, the other guys with the 4 wins are in the Pacific League. And, you know, I think this is going to be quite the race here in terms of ERA and wins. Nobody's, you know, busted out with a big, you know, unbeaten record. Bullington had done that, but he lost a game already.
The top 9 going in today are below 3, so... We've got good pitching in the Central League this year.
Yeah,
of course, if you go to the Pacific League, below 3 is up to number 13, so Pacific League still is a bit better with the ERA.
Right, right. Yeah, the four game winners so far in the Pacific League are Karakawa, Yuki,
uh-huh.
And... Brian Holton, or DJ Holton. Brian Holton used to pitch for the Dodgers a long time ago. DJ Holton with the SoftBank Hawks. Yu Darvish with the Nippon Ham Fighters. And Nishi. So, yeah, a lot of four-game winners out there. I'm liking the way all these races are going to go with the wins. But, yeah, I don't put too much stock in the wins. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
That tells you, you know, of course you go out there to compete in the game, but what you want to do is keep guys off base.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't want to give up too many hits, and you don't want to give up too many walks. And those are the guys I tend to focus on. And hopefully, you know, we'll see a good race in that. I think Darvish is one of the top pitchers in terms of keeping guys off base. And Hisashi Iwakuma of the Rakuten Eagles is doing a good job. But we'll see as the season goes. It's way, way too early to talk about these numbers, but just wanted to give our listeners a little idea of who's out there doing the best job at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some of the injuries that are going on. The Giants, the Yomiuri Giants, suffered another setback. The other day, he's a two-time MVP overall, but he was an MVP in the Pacific League once and a MVP in his first year. Ogasawara out with they think it's a torn calf muscle. He got hit by a pitch.
He got hit by a pitch. I thought it was just bruise at first. Nikon Sports says that it's in pain.
That's
not very descriptive.
Well, if it's just in pain, I don't think you would deactivate him because you're going to lose it for 10 days, so you can't play.
But I would guess that it's probably bruised at best.
You think so? I mean, I heard torn, but, you know, you get conflicting reports all the time.
I also heard torn. Where did I hear that at?
Probably Hochi Sports. That's where I got it from. But, you know, whatever it is, he got deactivated, so he's not there. Then today, Yoshiyuki Kame got injured chasing after a ball, and he almost hit for the cycle the other day. And the interesting thing was he only needed a single.
He only needed a single,
He started off with a triple, and he got his home run and a double, and then he came up needing a single and grounded out.
Yeah.
And now he gets deactivated, too. He's injured. They think they're going to get Shinosuke Abe. He's supposed to be back on Tuesday to begin Interleague.
Yeah, so, his rehabilitation at Nigun has been going along steadily over the past week, so
he said much better than he expected.
Uh-huh.
Much better than he expected. So, that's important for them to get some of these people back, but they're losing guys. They sent one player, Wakia, they sent him down because he got hung up in the old fake to first and throw to third play the other day.
So he gets penalized by being dropped.
So they dumped him. They dumped him like bad girlfriend. I mean, and the manager, he's been a whipping boy for Tatsunori Hara for a number of years because they just abuse these guys. They bring them up for a little while. Insert them, let them start some games, and then send them down to the farm after, you know, somebody's rehabbed or something. They don't leave them on the bench or anything. So,
a lot of them, that's probably better for them because they'll get more playing time.
Well, they can certainly play, but he's a guy who he doesn't need to play every day. He's kind of, you know, been there and done that, and you need to have a guy like that who's going to keep himself ready on the bench. Young guy who's going to get up there and be a deer in the headlights when he sees, you know, somebody throwing, especially some of the good pitching that we've seen now. The Carp pitching, the Swallows pitching, and the Chunichi Dragons pitching. You don't want a guy who's tentative up there. You want a guy who's aggressive and confident, and I just don't see any use for it. But, hey, that's what they do. But, the Giants still, not only are they suffering painful experiences, literally, figuratively, with some of their pitchers, but they got away with a couple, although they had a brutal game yesterday. Levi Romero just melted down in the ninth inning. Three walks, a wild pitch to tie the score, and then he with the bases loaded, to force in the game-winning run. And so the ball didn't really leave the infield. There was a shallow fly to center, a fly out to center, and that was the only ball that left the infield. But they had an infield single, and then the three walks, then the wild pitch to score a run, then a hit batter just to win the game in walk-off fashion. It was just brutal. And so they went to Jonathan Albaladejo today to close My Spanish is just ruined by all the Japanese that I learned. I apologize.
Yeah, well, I like to read those names in katakana.
we'll just call him Big J.
Okay.
things could get a lot worse for the Giants, or they could get better. We really don't know how that's going to go. Once they get Abe back, it'll change the way the pitchers go about attacking hitters. He's so experienced and knows so many and doesn't hesitate to when he's calling a game, to lead his pitchers. And I remember sitting in the office with Jim Allen and watching him just call a game on a particular batter. And I looked at a couple of swings and a couple of reactions to a couple of pitches, and I said, hey, you know, if they're good, they'll throw so-and-so, they'll throw X pitch and get a strikeout or a weak ground ball. And they threw the pitch, and they got exactly that. They got the out. And I said, that's why Abe's such a good catcher, because he really studies the hitters, and he reads their swings, and he knows what's going on with their thinking. And that's the key. They really get.
And he leverages the pitchers, which he also knows very well. So, yeah.
Yeah, he knows, and he can tell what's working for them, what's not working, mm-hmm. and he can use the pitches that, even the pitches that are not working, he's getting outs with. He gets his pitchers to throw them. And I remember Seth Greisinger, who won the game today. Now, there were conflicting reports on the game. On TBS Excite, they said Seth Greisinger hadn't won a game since last September, and then the Yomiuri Shimbun is reporting that it's his first win in 2 years. Who knows? Whatever. He got a victory today.
Well, he was injured most of last year.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah. I know he came back at the end of last year, but and I looked it up, and I actually didn't see a victory for him last year. But anyway, he got the win today, and he said he really likes throwing to Abe. He has no hesitation and really likes throwing to him. So we wish them the best, of course. And
the injury that I'm most concerned with is TNO over at Lotte, the new Ogino. Ogino Taka.
Yeah. What did he do now?
He pulled a hamstring?
I didn't see that he was deactivated, but
In Saturday's game,
okay.
He sat out Saturday's game.
He sat out, okay. I know he wasn't in the lineup today.
And probably not today either. He hasn't been deactivated yet.
Okay.
But he's day-to-day, and hopefully he'll be back soon.
Well, you know, those hamstrings, and I experienced that last year, and, you know, you hear the word hamstring, you kind of zip past it and not think that it's too much. And usually young players come back after a couple of weeks or so, but those things can nag you an entire season. And I talked to some of the players all last year, because I had a hamstring injury, and anybody who would lend an ear, I said, hey, I got a hamstring, a bad hammy. How do I tend to it? And one of the guys said, look, you know, it's going to bother you for 2, 3, maybe 4 months. And this was August of last year, and it still hurts.
Uh-huh.
Of course, if I stopped running, that probably would help.
Yeah.
That's probably a good thing. But these things can be nagging injuries now. A guy like that whose legs are his life, you know.
Uh-huh.
He's not going to hit for power. If he can't beat out some of those infield singles because he's injured, then it's really going to cost him, it's going to cost the Marines overall if they're going to be successful in scoring runs early. But, yeah, leg injury is not good news for him, but let's hope he is not seriously injured. All right, well, let's go ahead and go to fielding the questions. All right, we had a listener named Mookster. I wonder, any relation to Mookie Wilson? And a Mookster said, he writes, in your last podcast, you were talking about being in the press area at games, so it led me to thinking how foreign journalists might be received by Japanese players and managers, and even by your peers in other journalists. unfortunately, Jim Allen is not here to help in answering this question because he started. I started actually in Nagoya in 1995 going out to Chunichi Dragons games. And at that time, you know, I wasn't very confident in my Japanese, so I didn't really bother the Japanese players so much, and I didn't interview coaches, and Senichi Hoshino was the manager at the time, and he was just scary. And I never even thought about approaching him.
He seems to have mellowed.
He seems to have mellowed a lot. Yeah, I saw him today. He has mellowed a lot. But I personally didn't really experience or have never experienced any kind of problems.
Discrimination,
nothing. I've asked other journalists, and if you know journalists in Japan and the United States, if you are, you know, you can't obviously be in two locker rooms at one time. In the United States, if you're covering the home team, if you're, for example, and this is, I'm speaking from past experience, you're covering the Angels or the Dodgers, usually just go into the Dodger locker room, talk to a couple players, try to get the manager and get back up to your seat and write a story about the home team. But you also want some comments, especially if there's anything out there that's controversial or inflammatory. You want to make sure you get that. Well, the journalists share quotes. You know, they share the comments. And it's the same thing here. And if I asked, you know, anybody here in Japan, if I asked them what did the manager say, they would give me that information. I have no doubt about it that they would give me the information. Of course, they've seen me for years and years, too, mm-hmm. And they know that I could speak Japanese. But, you know, there's been no hesitation by anyone. Even the team officials, no one has ever shut me out of anything or not allowed me to get information, not allowed me access to information. I also have been interviewed when I'm trying to do an interview because a lot of times the players will look at me or the coaches. I've had coaches look at me and say, well, how can you speak Japanese so well? Were you born here? And they start asking, well, how long did you live here? And when did you come and how did you study? And I'm like, you know, I'd really like to talk to you about these things, but I have a deadline. You know, can you answer my questions first and then I'll answer a couple of yours before I run back up to my seat and try to finish this story. So, you know, nothing at all. The second part of the question is, are you treated the same or have you faced some barriers? I wouldn't say I'm treated the same because obviously I'm not. I'm not Japanese, and they can tell by looking, you know, just one moment of just one glimpse, and they know that I'm not Japanese. So the first assumption is that I can't read the information, but I have, you know, once in a while we'll come across some information you can't read. But baseball is baseball, and once you learn all the characters for a certain for example, ERA and other statistics that you need in baseball, they never change. So you know where they are, you know how to find them, and the rest of the information you need is numerical, so it's not a problem. Barriers might be, for example, if you want to talk to a front office person, they might not give you the same access as you're used to in the United States, but it's the same access as the other reporters have here in Japan. They don't necessarily give grant interviews to other reporters and shut other reporters out. You just have very limited access to everyone on a team, basically, because I think we explained it before, but in the clubhouses in Japan, it's a sanctuary for these Japanese players who just go in and they don't have to talk to anyone. You know, once they get inside there, the press doesn't have access to the clubhouse, so they're safe and they can do what they want. Whether it's, you know, I always used to cite Tyrone Woods. I always used to ask him. He would stand out there and talk to us before the game, right up until he wanted to go and get some. He always ate ramen noodles before his game, so right up until he went to have dinner before the game, he would talk to us. And I said, what are those guys doing back there? Why do they duck? Why do they run in there? He said, they're not doing anything. Or in Tyrone's words, Oh man, they ain't doing nothing, dude. They're not doing anything, you know. Some of them are sleeping, some of them are looking at some numbers or reading comic books or what have you, but nobody's back there preparing for the game, so to speak, or nervous, or unless they're rookies. So they're just, you know, getting some alone time, which is, you know, understandable. I really appreciate the access that Major League Baseball gives to reporters, but in a sense, these players in the States are under a magnifying glass for a much longer period of time than players here, because they have to be on guard what they say, what they do in the clubhouse, because it could all be in the newspaper. It could all be on TV. So,
I've heard that at Tokyo Dome, you have to be a member of the Keisha Club
to have access. To have access, that is?
To have access to anything there.
Yeah, I would imagine you do. I mean, when I was...
And you have to submit your questions beforehand.
A lot of times...
And other draconian type of administrative procedures,
yeah,
to limit the amount of information or to pre-approve the information that goes out of the clubhouse.
Well, that's true, and not only that. I mean, it's not in every case. That's in a case when you want a special interview. If you decide, for me, I mean, because we are a part of the Keisha Club, the press club, and we have access. So to further limit our access, if we want to do a special interview, for example, if I want to talk to Shinosuke Abe about his return, and I want to do a one-on-one interview, then I have to go through the PR department and I have to contact him. And in that case, I would have to prepare the questions ahead of time, send them in, and have them approved. But in normal situation, when if I were to go out to the ballpark and I pulled during practice, and I pulled him aside and were talking to him, I could have a one-on-one. It just wouldn't be very long. So it depends on what you want to do. If you want to do a long feature story and you need to talk to a player for 10 minutes or more perhaps, or the manager, and you're going to take that much time out of their day, then you need to go through the procedures and submit a request, a proper request form,
mm-hmm.
and have it approved. And in that case, in most cases, in any interview you're going to do in Japan, you need to prepare the questions ahead of time. Now, you can have follow-ups, but you have to give a good portion of what you're going to be asking so that nobody gets surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And but I would say that there's no prejudice, there's no bias for other journalists or by teams or by coaches or by players. Generally, nobody wants to talk. I mean, if you imagine you're going to your friend's office and you ask him questions about what he's doing and why he's doing it, that's what the press is when we go out to a stadium and we're talking to players. We're actually stepping in their office, looking over their shoulder, and asking them why they're doing what they're doing and what was the motive behind that move and why did they decide to do this and why are they training this way and that way. And if we're really an annoyance for the players that that they have to put up with. We're a necessary annoyance that they get paid to put up with. And so, yeah, if their time is valuable, and if they're going to give you some of their valuable time. And it's the same with the coaches because they have preparation. It's the same with the
OGI will just tell you that's a stupid question and never talk to you again is what I've heard.
You know what? He doesn't talk to a lot of guys unless he has something to say himself.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't answer a lot of questions, so that's probably the norm for Mr. OGI, and God love him for it.
God love him for it. Well, that's why so many people like him, I think.
Yes.
Because he's no nonsense.
All right, well, I hope that answers your question, and perhaps we'll ask Jim Allen the same question when he comes back next week. But thank you for the email, Mookster. Please email the show at yakyujohn, that's YAKYUJOHN, @gmail.com, and we'll try to answer your question during the show. I always like to ask Jim when he's working on for coming up in the next week. And since he's not here, I'll ask you, how much data are you?
Well, let's see. I've still got that RSS feed for your broadcast to take care of. And I've been working on Korean data, NPB data. With NPB, one of the things I've been wanting to look at is fielding range statistics.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I hope. Not sure.
Yeah, I hope you can come
when
up.
When I can make that public, but that's kind of the stuff that I'm working on.
All right, great. Yeah, I hope we can talk about it on some future show. Even when Jim's back, I would still like you to come on, maybe even for a few moments and talk about some numbers and some stats and some stuff that you've discovered in the data that you collect. Much appreciated to you for coming on.
Uh-huh.
We'll hope to talk to you again soon. All right. Thanks a lot, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Take care.